Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight. Happy New Year! Hey, Katie Jean.
Hey, Teresa Marie.
It sure is me.
It sure is you. I hate notifications, so I had to go through all of my notifications on my Goodreads account.
Oh, I know. I always have like 15. I'm not going to lie, you guys. My one review went viral, and I like get notifications for it all the time.
Which one was that again?
Gold, the Raven Kennedy.
Oh, that's right.
Played a prisoner book. And it went viral because the book was not very good. So, and I was, I think one of like, I think I was like one of the first to review it because it was an ARC. So anyway, so I get a lot of notifications. My hair looks mental right now. But yeah, I get a lot of notifications. I'm always like, oh, man, I'm so popular.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It really did.
Yeah. No, yeah.
160 likes and 80 comments. You go, girl.
You know, you guys might know me from my viral review of Gold on Goodreads.
How
did
you introduce yourself
now? I honestly should. Like, oh, me, Teresa, the girl who... Actually, it's not even that bad of a review, but I feel
I do remember reading it. And
yeah,
I was like,
I think it just encompassed what everybody was feeling. I put into words what we were all thinking. Because one thing I'm not going to do is suck the dick of an author I like just because I like them. Anywho, it's been a really long time, I feel like, since we've done a normal Spilling the Tea, so I feel like I have a lot that I need to talk to you guys about, but at the same time, I also feel like I've talked about, like, all of these books. I honestly don't remember when the last time we did Spilling the Tea was. JK?
Me either, so honestly,
oh, you want to know what?
Do.
It was February 15th, and it was our Valentine's Day episode.
Okay.
So I'm only going to talk about the things that I've actually really, really liked and things that I have, like, a lot of thoughts and opinions on.
Okay.
And we're also recording this a week early because I'm in Florida right now if you're listening to this.
And if you're like me, we're going to be hating her.
I'm sure I'll post some beach pictures.
I'm sure you will, Teresa. I'm sure you will.
Honestly, don't be too jealous. Right now it's looking like it's going to be cloudy a lot of the week. So I might only – I'm not even kidding. Every single time I check – the weather's changed on the app.
Of course it is. It's Florida.
I know. That's why I said to Gail, he was like, oh, it's going to rain. Literally,
Florida,
I was like.
Florida and South Carolina are similar in terms of their patterns of weather. But I kid you not, like, when I lived in South Carolina, like, I remember always checking the weather for the sport games. And, like.
It says rain every day,
yeah.
But it will rain for, like, 30 minutes in
and
the morning. And then it's fine. Or, like, it'll
or
get a shower in the middle.
Yeah. And then it's fine. Like, that's just the stuff.
And, like. I remember, like, last year when I was down, I was on the beach, and it was like, cloudy and rainy, so I, like, went back to my brother's house, and it was bright and sunny, so I just laid in the yard instead.
Yeah, like, there's no rhyme or reason to
no,
it.
It's just,
I will
it's
say
Florida.
I'm kind of hoping when we're in Charleston, it's sunny and nice.
Same.
Because we do get a free day.
Yeah.
And I did get confirmation that we are still 100% going on my work trip in May. So I'm, and that'll be in Florida.
Yeah.
So I'm like very pumped for that. I mean, I'll be severely fucking pregnant, but I'm going to it. So.
Pregnant people are allowed to enjoy nice weather.
I mean, Tom's coming with me. He also has like a sister company down there.
Oh, okay.
But I said to him, if I have to go to this work trip, like especially like 28 weeks pregnant, which like is your third trimester, I was like, I would feel a wee bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
If like my husband was with me, I was like, but I'm literally sitting in like an office for like a day and a half. And like,
is it Miami or Jacksonville?
We're gonna go to Jacksonville.
Okay.
Miami is, oh no, Miami's not until next year. I'll be back in Jacksonville in November as well.
All right, well, girls trip in November.
I mean, you can come with me to work. I'll just do like one day of a meeting and then
bring your bestie to work day.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, actually, my boss
is. I was
going to
say, yeah.
So
your boss is also a Swiftie.
Huge Swiftie.
Yeah.
You're her best friend, who I do know, her name is Allie. Lauren, I hope you don't listen to this. I don't think she knows I have these things, but. Allie and you are the same. Like, you guys investigate, like, you know things before, like, I know things, like, type of thing. Like,
yeah.
You guys are, like, in the thick of the Swiftiness.
We're the Swifties of the friend group, and you're, like, the byproduct
yeah.
of
Like, being... I'm a Swiftie, but I'm not, like, the level of Swift that you are.
I'm not doing my own research. I'm just, like, watching videos and being, like, this is interesting.
True.
Because people who are, like, she said that like she put a four-leaf clover on a post 4 months ago, and that means that St. Patty's Day is day that she's gonna get her period. Like,
I don't have time for that.
No.
I don't have time for myself, let alone.
Katie can't even theorize. Like, a book she's reading will be like, okay.
What book did I like really fucking miss? The one size. There's a book that came out, like, I literally missed every single sign. Oh my God.
I was gonna say Katie didn't even get the riddle on ACOTAR.
Yeah. I know,
but I know a lot of people didn't get the riddle in ACOTAR, so like I'm not gonna like hold that against you. But even like
the CC, I really wouldn't call it like a riddle, but like what blinds an oracle? I had no fucking clue. What? I found out with Bryce. Well, Bryce kind of knew. Like I found out.
Well, no, I don't think anybody really knew though.
True, but still, I had no fucking clue.
Katie was like, I have no theories. Like, what does blind? She's like, the sun.
Yeah, I'm like,
huh? Really bright lights.
Yeah, like I don't get it. Like, what'd she do? What kind of power does she have? Yeah, no, the ACOTAR thing, I had no fucking idea.
Yeah.
That's my one big claim to fame. But there was something else that was, like, happening in, like, a series that you and I read. And I remember, like, laughing and being like, I didn't fucking get this.
I feel like we talked about
I'm here for vibes, people. I'm here for the vibes.
I'm here for vibes, but when I do, like, pick up on something, I'm going to let the whole world know it.
You do.
Okay. Let's get started, because I am.
I'm going to go first, then, since you have, like, so many. I don't have that
many. Oh, no, I was going to say I don't have a lot. I was going to say I have one strong opinion. For anybody who's like likes mystery reads, The Housemaid by Freida McFadden was like very, very popular last year. So I read it and honestly, I gave it a 3-star. Like it was fine. The writing, just like everything, like I didn't care about any of the characters. It was like pretty predictable, I think. And I don't mind predictability. I just thought that the writing was like very like basic. Like it was fine. The book was fine. But then, and I didn't realize how similar they were going to be, I audiobooked The Last Mrs. Parrish. Literally, the plot is like 98% the exact same thing, but The Last Mrs. Parrish was so much better.
Okay.
So if you are looking for like a mystery read or whatever, and I don't know if like you're between those two, I would 100% do The Last Mrs. Parrish first.
Okay.
Or only that one. I wouldn't do The Housemaid.
Whatever, that's your opinion.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Fight me. Go on.
I will talk about... What do I talk about? I mean, I reread the first three books of the Eden series, because, like, we read those a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone, like, loves Juniper Hill, and you and I were like, I don't fucking get it.
I, like, it's very forgetful for me.
But, like, it's so funny. Okay, so Indigo Ridge to me, I've only read the first three books. I've only gotten to part five.
Well, she's read them all. She's only reread the first three.
My reread. It has been derailed for a couple other reasons that we will talk about a little later. So Indigo Ridge is still number one in my opinion for right now.
Yeah.
But Juniper Hill, when I was in it, I was like, wow, this is really good. I'm so enjoying this. I love Nox Eden. I want Nox Eden to make me mac and cheese. The minute I was done, I was like right out of my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's a really good book, but I don't know why.
It's very forgettable to me. Like, yeah. I think that there's just, like, not a lot that, like, happened. Like,
no, like, the son goes missing really quickly. There's a little bit of a backstory. I almost said Maxine. That's the narrator.
Memphis.
With the female main character.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like, to me, Garnet Flat still trumps Juniper Hill.
I just think that the other books have better... I don't know, because I do think Juniper Hill is better than, not Garnet Flats, what's the other?
Crimson River.
But I still remember more of Crimson River.
Same. And I think it's because it has a mystery.
I was going to say, I think that, like, there was just a better plot for the other books.
And it's why Ridge sticks with me more, because there's a mystery component to it. Like,
yeah.
I'm not being on, like, a one-night stand type of thing like that. But I really enjoyed, obviously, plus I think it's Griffin. I don't know. I just really liked him. And
I love Griffin.
I love a strong female main character as well.
Yeah.
But I think because it's a mystery aspect that held my interest. And then with Garnet Flats, I think because literally Foster is fucking groveling.
I know, it's so good.
And you need to know what the fuck happened with that relationship.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, ew, she cannot fucking be, this cannot be the love interest. Like,
nope.
You fucked your best friend. We are not here for this. Like, once you learn, also spoilers, duh, people.
He doesn't fuck her best friend, though.
But he doesn't. You know what I mean? It's like, but once you learn everything, I think because you're so involved.
Yeah.
That you need to know. And then, like, and then she's still in the picture because of, like, the daughter. And, like, there's just so much. Like, it got my interest.
Yes. And I don't, just, like, Memphis was very bland to me.
Yes.
So, like, Knox is great and he carries the story. but like, I don't think he carries enough.
But I think because he's broody and doesn't have like much to say. Okay. When you have a broody, kind of quieter, like male main character that does have strong moments in terms mm-hmm. of like, who did this to you? Or I'm going to take charge. You need to have a female main character. The perfect example
I was
going to
say,
Willa and
yeah.
Katie. Willa is like this, like,
spitfire.
Yeah, like she's a firecracker. Like she's got like shit to say to you. Like she's not afraid who she is. Like she's a big personality, but in a very good way. But like Memphis, she is also, but Memphis is also just trying to find her own 2 feet and like stand up on her own for the first time in like forever.
Yeah.
But at the same time too, I feel like she needed a little bit more like zhuzh.
They were
will.
Both very like,
bleh.
So like, yeah, we need one needs yeah. to balance out the other.
Like, even with Jasper and Eloise, like Eloise is Eloise.
Yeah.
She's like, bleh, like, and Jasper is like this like calm, cool, collected, like.
I know. I love them.
You know what I mean? So it's yeah. like, so I stopped reading because I got really involved with a new witchy series, which I will talk about. And then Julie Johnson released the second book to the Witch City series of Bad Luck Charms book mm-hmm. one. And I had to stop my life to read book two. But what do you got next?
So I want to talk about really briefly, as you guys know, the final book in Magnolia and BJ's story in the Magnolia Parks universe came out on the 14th or whatever, the 13th, whatever that Tuesday was. So Magnolia Parks Into the Dark. It's technically the fifth book in the series, but it's the third book of Magnolia and BJ. So their story's over. And it was like 700 and something pages. I would have read 700 more pages.
I love when the books are like that.
I saw like a girl's review and she's like, I'm a huge fan of the series, but there was like no plot to this book. I'm like, none of these books have a plot.
No, it's character driven.
They're all character. I was like, literally, no disrespect. Your opinion's your opinion. I don't care. But I was like, what was the plot of any of the other books?
There was no plot.
There's no plot. It's literally, if you liked the first few books, and I think that you'll like this, it's a little bit like sadder and like a little bit darker because, spoiler alert for the end of Long Way Home, or
it's the third book, right?
Yeah. / the end of the second Daisy Hates book, The Great Undoing, because like they're all kind of overlap. Magnolia's sister Bridget dies. So you have to deal with Magnolia working through her grief of losing her sister. And you just get basically like BJ just like being like the perfect partner and like being there for her and them working out their relationship. And you get more into like, I don't know. It just, if you like character driven books, then like the series is. It just doesn't
like
work.
If you're a fan of Raven Hood series, if you read that series, and like I say, give this a go.
Yeah, because it's all character
driven.
You have to kind of get over like how like the characters in Magnolia Parks and Daisy Hates, they're all very toxic.
Yes.
They're not likable off the bat until you get to know them more.
Correct.
And like by the end of this book, you know them. And now I'm just like dying for the next Daisy Hates book. Because I think there's two more Daisy Hates books coming. Because I think we need to get some Daisy. And then we need to get some Julian. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, I'm the resident witch of the two of us. I'm obsessed with anything witchy related. Book or just, you know, general. Like if you told me tomorrow that I am a witch, I'd be like, great. Perfect.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a wizard, Harry. Okay, so since posting about like witchy books and like asking for recommendations, I've always heard you gotta read the Stay a Spell series by Juliet Cross. And I've always put it off because that is what I do.
Yes. And if I'm not there to bully her about it, then she's not gonna read it. So I haven't read these, so I haven't bullied her to read them.
Correct. So I was in Barnes & Noble with you. I picked up book 4 because they are interconnected. But then I've heard conflicting, like, you should read them in order, you shouldn't read them in order. I understand why people say read them in order because, like, you get to meet the other characters. And I will say, there is a bit of buildup with the next couple in the previous book. So you kind of, like, even for the book that I'm currently on, I get why you would want to read the previous ones because, like, they kind of have more of a faster relationship,
mm-hmm.
but it built up in the previous ones.
Right.
So Wolf Gone Wild is the first one. The first two to me are, like, solid 3.5, 3, 7, 5-star books. They are fun. They are witty. They have great characters, great, like, spice. They're entertaining. Like, it's just a good time. You're in New Orleans. I don't know. It's a good vibe. The second is Don't Hex and Drive. Again, same thing. What's kind of cool, too, is, like, there's witches. There's vampires. There's werewolves. Like, But again, like, think basics. Like, we're not talking about, like, the Omegaverse. We're not talking about anything crazy.
Right.
But, like, there's some other other species and beings as well as Grimms. Which, like, once you hear about, like, the Grimms in these books, you're like, I need a fucking Grimm relationship. So the one that I'm on, oh, I'm sorry, Witches Get Stitches with book 3. And same kind of dynamic. Like, he's a little bit more of, like, broody, recluse, quiet as a werewolf, which makes sense.
Yep.
She is like witchy and like very like vibrant and like big energy. That to me was like the first like solid 4-star book. Like right. I had a great fucking time with it. The spice was all of Juliet Cross's books in this series is they're like damn girl. Like okay. There's some good spice. But the book that I'm reading now, book 4, Practice Safe Hex. I think that's what it's called. That is a Grimm, and like I am like devouring it with a spoon. Like,
Katie has so a kink. Katie has a Grimm kink.
I like Grimms. I was like, I'm here for it.
Is that like a Grimm Reaper? Like, what's yes. a Grimm? Okay,
I don't know yet. I had to stop mid book. I had to talk to Shan because we were both mid books of like Juliet Crosses.
Yeah,
but then At Last came out. She's like, "What are you gonna do?" I was like, "I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna read At Last like it's an arc. Like I don't want
to." Sometimes you like, have to.
I don't know.
Especially when it's like an arc. Like so, At Last Sight comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So March 1st. So it's already out if you're listening.
Exactly.
But yeah, so you kind of like have to prioritize.
And we got it only a week prior, so like, and it's a 500-page book. So like, I didn't want to prolong my read and surpass the release date.
Of course.
Especially because, like, I've been screaming from the rooftops about Bad Luck Charm since I read Bad Luck Charm.
And Katie's been waiting for At Last Sight since she finished Bad
Luck
Charm.
When she said that the arcs were coming out, I was, like, sitting here, like, refreshing. I'm like, is it coming via email? Is it coming? Like, am I getting this? If I'm not, it's okay. But, like, am I?
Yeah.
Your turn.
Oh. My turn. Okay, so I... You know what? Okay, I'm going to go to this book next. Because then I'll circle back. Anyway, okay. Not Like Other Girls by Meredith Adamo. We had got an arc from Bloomsbury. It comes out April 30th, I want to say. April 30th.
I want to read that before you
I almost want to go run upstairs and like get the book to try to explain it. Because she does a really good
synopsis
job of in her like author's note, kind of being like, this is how it started, but then it also became this.
Okay.
So Not Like Other Girls, it's about a girl in high school. So it's a YA mystery book. But there is like an undercurrent, which I feel like any girl who went to high school has either maybe not personally experienced this, but has like, whatever. She's kind of classified as like the school slut. She is the kind of girl who, like, always had more guy friends than girlfriends. And
one person's name comes to mind. I know it's probably, like, the same for you. I know a girl.
Oh, like, in high school. I was like, we did not go to the same high school. Honestly, okay, like, I always had girlfriends growing up. But there is a quote in this book, and I'm just going to read it because it, like, really hit home for me because I'm not going to be like, oh, I was a pick me girl. But like, I feel like all girls go through that. Like, you want to be the cool girl. You want the boys to like you.
Yes.
Like, you kind of like let things go that maybe like were offensive because you don't want to come across as like that girl who's like, oh, she's so drop. I feel like every girl can relate to it. So the quote is, God, I hate that I get it. I wanted the guys, all guys, any guys to like me. So I laughed at their unfunny jokes, let them think they were smarter than me. I became the girl they wanted me to be, but plenty of guys wanted me and still never liked me. And like,
it's so true.
One of her best friends growing up is a boy named Cody. So she kind of gets in with the guy group really, really young because her best friend is this guy, Cody. The older they get, the more he's like, he kind of becomes like a little bit creepy towards her. Okay. So he basically propositions her for sex. She's like, Cody, like, no, like, you're my friend. Like, that's crazy. So he goes into her phone. She took naked pictures of herself, never sent them to anybody. They were more like, she was like feeling herself and like took some photos. He sends them to himself, and then he gets mad at her, and he sends them to everybody in the school. And like, that's where the story starts is like the aftermath of that, and how like nobody will talk to her. She's kind of, her parents are like very, her mom kind of always like puts her down. Like, they're just like not, they love her, but they're just like not very present in her life.
Okay,
she's super super smart, so she like starts like not going to school or like failing classes. She's trying to get them to notice her that something's wrong. And like, nobody is just like cares. So her ex-best friend is this girl who lives across the street. This is where the mystery part comes in. She lives across the street, and one day in school, she's like, they haven't talked in like years. She goes up, she goes up to her, and she's like, you have to like, you have to come, like, you're the only person who would understand, like, I need your help, I need your help, like, meet me, like, in the parking lot after school, blah, blah. So, so Joe goes, meets to go to the parking lot, and Maddie never shows up, and she's like, fuck this bitch, like, whatever. The next day, Maddie's mom shows up at the school, Maddie's missing. Mm-hmm. So they're like, what happened to her? Was she kidnapped? Blah, blah, blah. Turns out that Maddie, like, ran away.
Okay.
So now it's, like, the mystery of, like, what happened. So this boy that Joe always, like, liked, who was, like, in the friend group, and they, like, they were friendly, Hudson, he also got, like, a weird text from Maddie, like, the night before. So the two of them, like, team up, and they like, start fake dating. So it's not weird that, like, they're hanging out. And he's also, like, friends with the popular kids. Okay. So he's, like, you know.
This will benefit you, too.
Yeah. So, like, one, like, because they're all, like, Maddie was in this group. So he's, like, we need to get close with them.
Yeah.
See who knows what. So they have to, like, solve the mystery of, like, where's Maddie. There's, like, it's really, really, really good. But there's, like, so many points that I'm just, like, they were so poignant that, like, I feel like any girl who went through high school can be like, oh my God, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And, like, she, like, I don't know, she gets with a few guys, and all of a sudden she's this big slut. And then her best friend betrays her, sends her nudes out, and he suffers no consequences. But now she's, like, blacklisted from everybody in school.
Yeah.
And then you find out, like, and this is a trigger warning. I don't want to give, like, a lot of the plot away, but she is basically, like, sexually assaulted. I don't say basically. She is sexually assaulted when she's, like, 15 by, like, a boy in his 20s. She thinks that he likes her. He takes advantage of her being a lot younger. And she kind of is like, well, I like, he like likes, like, it's like very difficult. And she blames herself. Like, she doesn't think, she's like, oh, well, I never said no. Like, I never, like, you know, I kept going back for more. And it's like, no, you were taken advantage of from somebody who was older than you.
And you did.
So definitely check trigger warnings if any of that is, like, triggering, of course. But by the end of, like, she just grows so much. I just, like, love this character.
I wanted to read it. I know you picked it. So, like, obviously, like, you read it first, but after you spoke about it, you're like, no, I really like this. I was like, okay, now.
Yeah.
Really,
so, like, when we went to the Bridget Kemmer, Destroy the Day event back in September, we were talking to, Meredith, who, not the author. Was her name Meredith? No. I'm, like, drawing a blank.
Her name was definitely not Meredith.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. We were talking to somebody. You know how we're bad at names.
I know exactly who you're talking
no,
about.
No, I know. I know exactly who she is.
Definitely not Meredith.
Okay, well, you know, it doesn't matter what her name is. She works at Bloomsbury. Sorry. Bad at names.
And she recommended this book.
She was like, she was telling us about this book. She's like, it's coming out in the spring. She's like, I read it. It's so good. So when we got, like, the list of books that were coming out, I was like, okay, I'm going to put in for this. And I was expecting it to be good, but I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. So I read it in, like, 24 hours. It was just, pick it up.
I mean, I am.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get through, like, my one series, and, like, I'm gonna make you give it to me before you probably when you probably get back from Florida.
Okay.
So I dabbled with I don't know about you guys, but when I look at a book in Barnes and Noble and I recognize a title, I do tend to check, like, Goodreads. I want to see, like, what the rating is out there. What are people thinking? So to be completely frank, I did see this rating of 3.4, and I was like, okay, like, this can go either way. It could be, like, this is kind of cute and solid, or, like, this is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
So I read My Roommate is a Vampire.
Oh, yeah. I've been meaning to ask you about that, because I've heard, like, different things about it.
So I did the audio, which maybe...
Erica, by the way.
Which we should have realized.
No, I know, but I think I just kept thinking Meredith, because the author's name was Meredith. Yeah.
So I did this on audio. And again, like, maybe physically reading it will give you a different vibe. The narrator didn't make it sound corny. This book is corny. This is, like, a cutesy, corny rom-com. However, like, she's, like, a down-on-her-luck kind of girl. Like, doesn't really think she's good at, like, being an artist. Like, kind of can't get a job. So she's basically about to be evicted, needs a new place to live. Finds this, like, listing on Craigslist. Her friends are like, do not fucking go to this place. It's a $200, like, room for rent. Like, this is a scam.
Yeah.
She ends up, like, emailing the person. They're, like, prim and proper in their responses. Her best friend, who's a guy, drives her to the apartment to check it out. And she's like, if I don't come out within like literally 10 minutes, fucking call the cops.
Yeah.
She meets this guy. He's like, again, like something straight out of like the early like 1900s. Like the way he speaks, the way he dresses, whatever. So she ends up like renting the room. He's obviously like, she finds out he's a vampire. I think if they made the male main character more like, not this, like not some guy from 1900s who's basically needing a roommate because he wants to be caught up in society. Like he was put into like a coma essentially and like was asleep for a century. So even older, like, so like when he woke up, he's like, I need to figure out what the world is now. Like it almost kind of like, I feel like hinders the story. Yeah. Like if he was someone who's just been around and like needed a roommate, cause he's like, fuck it, I want a roommate. Like, I think that would have been more appealing. But, like, what killed me was, like, there's something that happens where he's taken hostage by his mom. Because, like, his mom wants him to be in an arranged marriage with someone. And the way that this girl goes about, like, quote-unquote, getting him back is, like, using... it's, like, spoil. So if you don't want to have it spoiled, skip ahead, like, maybe 15 seconds. But, like, if you're here for it, which I don't recommend this book personally. Like, she uses, like, a TikTok video where, like, her and, like, his one friend are, like... so very sarcastically, like, oh, like, if you don't give him back, we're going to tell the world that vampires are real. But they make it, like, stupid. And the mom goes first. She's like, oh, don't post it on the TikTok. Like, we'll give him back. I'm like, wait, is this, like, a joke? Because I thought she was, like, walking into a trap. Like, the mom can't believe this, right? And, like, the mom did. I was like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've listened to in my life. And that's what I have to say about that.
I'm really sorry that you had to go through that.
Me too. I mean, I was about to DNF at that point, but I was like, I literally have like 40 minutes left of this.
Well, yeah, at that point, you kind of just have to go through with it.
But I literally, it was sitting at like a 3 for me. And like after that moment, it's a 2. It's a fucking 2.
Yeah.
I've only read in one other book like a 2-star. And that was the purple house in the town, or the only purple house in the town. Don't fucking read that either. That's fucking shit. Sorry.
Okay. The last book I want to talk about is Dishonestly Yours by Krista and Becca Ritchie. So I don't think I talked about this on here. Can't remember.
I don't think you have.
I know I talked to you about it. Yeah. So literally as a surprise to nobody, I fucking live and die for the Calloway Sister series. And same authors, very different concept of the book. It has a lot of that like found family-ish stuff that you kind of love with the Calloway sisters, and Addicted, obviously. But it's like about two con artist families. And it's very obvious that it's going to follow like different couples, kind of like how the Addicted Calloway series does. But the first book, it follows one of the daughters and one of the sons from like, they're from obviously different families because they fucking. But they've been, like, in love, but they're, and, like, their parents kind of, like, use their, like, affection towards each other as, like, bits in the cons that they're pulling. So, for, like, in one con, they're, like, dating. In one con, they're married. In another con, they're, like, brother and sister. And he kind of has to, like, stand by and, like, watch, like, kind of, like, horrible things happen to her sometimes. Okay. Because, again... these family, like, they go from town to town, and they're just, like, conning people. So, like, in one instance, they own, like, a strip... I don't want to say it's a strip club. I mean, it's supposed to be, like, an exclusive, like, gentleman's club. And she has to, like, flirt with this, like, older man and, like, get him into a back room. And he has to kind of, like, be there and, like, watch this happen. So, the parents put them in a position for one of the cons. And they're basically, like, oh, well, she has to, like, be engaged to another guy. The guy that they're conning. And I actually don't want to give it away. Anyway, they basically, like, the book starts where, like, it's a con gone bad. And she's best friends with Rocky, who's the male lead. She's best friends with Rocky's sister. And I'm drawing a complete blank on her name. And it's, like, really bugging me right now. So let me just pull it up. I'm actually really surprised that I remembered Rocky's name, to be honest with you. But it's whatever. Solids. Yeah. So she's best friends with the sister. After the con goes bad, that like her and the sister are like, okay, like we are done. We're escaping to like this small Phoebe. We're escaping to this small town, blah, 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 whatever. The two of them are going to leave. Rocky finds out. And he's like, you guys can't go by yourselves. But now there's all this animosity between Phoebe and Rocky. So there's also like tension and like angst. And you're like, what the fuck happened? And then you find out about whatever happened between them. And basically, like, I don't want to give it away, but they decide that since they're, like, they're so in love with each other, but their whole relationship has been fake because it's always been about what the con is, that they're like, until we can, like, be together for real, we just, like, cannot be together at all. So they're trying to escape their parents, and her brothers end up showing up in town, and then Rocky and his sister, they have another brother, he shows up in town, and there's, like, there's a mystery aspect, and then, like, at the end of the book, like, the parents show up, so, you know, like, shit's about to go down, because, like, they're actually making a life for themselves, and they're like, fuck, like, if our parents show up, like, it's game over, because they're gonna, like, look at all these people in this little, like, seaside town in Connecticut, and they're gonna, like, they're gonna see the next con. But it was so good, and, like, the whole time, you're, like, clutching, like, your pearls, like, you're just waiting for them to get together, like, oh, it's so, like, if you love angst, and we do, it's so good. And it, like, it literally, like, you only get a little bit of payout, like, right at the end, and then the book ends, so now I'm like, what's gonna happen next?
It's like, okay, now I need the next one.
And I don't want to make assumptions based on the Addicted Calloway series, but typically in, like, Krista and Becca's books, there isn't, like, a miscommunication, third act breakup. Like, once the couples are together, they stay together. They might just have to go through, like, bullshit, but they're, like, very, like, unwaveringly together. And that's kind of the vibe I get with this now. So, like, while I think they're probably going to go through shit, I think that, like, they're together. Like, they're solidly together. But I think you, I actually think you would,
I know,
like,
you
this
did
one.
Text me, like, I think it was, you would actually like this one.
Addicted Calloway is very, like, emotional. And while there are, like, emotional aspects in this, it's more, like, fun and mystery driven.
I'm here for that. I do like a good mystery.
I know.
So my last book that I'll talk about is At Last Sight by Julie Johnson.
Give it to us.
It's so fucking good. Okay, so it's, it is book two of her series, but it is an interconnected standalone.
Yes, you meet really, them at the end.
You meet them at the end, like, tail end. So, like, yes, there's characters from book one in book two, but by no means do you need to read book one to read two. Do I highly suggest
I was waiting for her to say.
Then yes, like, you absolutely should read book one. But so at the end of book one, you are you've already been introduced to the male main character, who is Cade Hightower, and he is a detective in Salem. He's a silver fox. He's 6'3". He is a cinnamon roll, but he's not like a Theo cinnamon roll. He's like, I'm a cinnamon roll, but I also like have a little bit of like a, I don't want to say a broodiness to him, but there's more of like a, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, he's not full golden retriever. He's like golden retriever mixed with something else.
Okay.
Like, he's got a little spice to him, if you will. But in the end, you see like a clairvoyant, or you meet the clairvoyant who walks in, and her name is Imogen. Book two starts where you like find out how Imogen comes into Salem. Like, she's basically on the run. She's been on the run since the age of 15. She 100% is a clairvoyant and can, like, touch people, basically has these visions, whatever. So once her parents passed away when she was, like, five, her uncle took her in and was like, basically, I see a way to make a shit ton of fucking money off you. She leaves him, and then, of course, because she's never had, like, a stable relationship, ends up in, like, a physically abusive relationship. She's, like, waiting for him in bed to, like, fall asleep so she can run. Like, she's bought a car already. Like, she's got bags packed, ready to go. You also kind of learn more of, like, a backstory that she's tried to help people in the past, like, as she's been, like, making her way from Florida to, she was in Atlantic City. As she's made her way up the coast, like, she stopped in their places to, like, try to help law enforcement along the way. She gets burned bad by, like, one of the cops that, like, she was trying to, like, help with, like, a missing persons case. So she's planning to drive through Salem, but, like, gets stopped because her car basically is, like, a fucking piece of shit and blows up.
Yeah.
In comes Cade Hightower because daddy's a detective and, like, he sees this helpless little lady on the side of the road, like, helps her.
Love that.
It's love at first sight. But I will say Julie writes it really well, where, like, there is, to me, there's a difference between, like, both falling in love the minute they meet and, like, being like, okay, wow, you're really fucking hot. Like, I'm attracted to you. Like, there's a difference. And, like, that's how she kind of writes it.
Okay.
So you just, like, follow the two of them. Like, it's, there's, like, there's quirkiness because you have, like, these two little old lady witches that are, like, somehow always involved. There's a little bit of a mystery component because a kid does go missing. You get, like, the whole aspect of, like, watching Imogen kind of go through, like, this whole character arc of, like, finding that, like, she doesn't need to be alone. Like, she's made herself so alone, but, like, it's okay to, like, let people in. Like, people want to be her friend.
Yeah.
So you go through that whole aspect. There's a puppy.
I mean, if there's a puppy.
And nothing happens to the puppy. Because
you have to preface, if there's a pet or an animal in a book, It has, you have to preface.
You have to preface it. I learned it the hard way. And there's a video of it. There's actually probably a few videos of me crying because of dogs. Anyway.
The dog's gonna pass.
If you know, you know. If you don't, check her TikTok. Yeah, so whatever. It's just like a really good, like, all-around story. It's set in Salem. It's around Halloween time. It's got, like, witchy ghost vibes. It's got, like, fun girlfriend vibes.
Love a fun girlfriend
vibe. It's got
vibe.
Fucking dynamite spice, in my opinion. Like, really good payoff. You learn some, like, really fun facts in the back end, like, why there's a little bit more of, like, a love at first sight moment. Like, once you find out, you're like, God fucking damn it, Julie. Give me up the tissues. I mean, at least for me, because I'm hormonal.
It's just an excuse, even if she wasn't pregnant.
I know. I used to never be emotional and like, who the fuck have I become? I used to be a steel wall of like, I don't give a fuck. And now I'm like, I don't know what happened. You know what happened? I got off birth control. That's what happened.
I've just always been, actually, well, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Like if you ask Kate, like what I used to be like back in the day, she'd be like, she's fucking evil.
Well, she still is.
She still is kind of evil. She's in there.
But things will make her cry now.
So anywho, it's just like a really good all-about story. They are a little longer. They're 500 pages. I know you read Bad Luck Charm and you liked it. Didn't love it like I did. But this is like my bread and butter.
But you are like a witchy reads kind of gal.
Like if I want it, like when I tell you I had been looking for a witchy vibe book to the point where like if I were to write one myself, it would be these books. Like this is what I was looking for. A lot of other witchy books I just don't find deliver in the same aspect. Like there's a lot of witchy books out in the market. I think they're really corny, to be completely honest.
Actually, because you're saying this, I had this like, I mean, I feel like I've said this before, but just last night I had this like epiphany about hockey romances where I was like, they became popular. So these authors who don't like, who like they flood the market because it's what's popular instead of just like writing what they know. So there's like very few and far between at this point, in my opinion, that are actually good. Like I keep seeing some like hockey romances recommended and I'm like, that sounds stupid. That sounds corny. And this author doesn't typically write sports romances, which again, you don't have to write sports romances to be a good sports romance author. But I think people were just like, oh, this is what's popular. I'm going to write a hockey romance. And you've never fucking watched a hockey game in your entire life. And I will suspend belief on so many things in books. But like, if I can tell from reading that you've never read a book, or if I think that you just like added hockey to the plot to be like, oh, it's a hockey romance and the book has nothing to do with hockey, Cough Until I Get You by Claire Contreras, Cough, then like, you're just doing it for like a fucking money grab. I'm sorry. That book, when people market that book as a hockey romance, it's not a hockey romance. It's a dark romance where the main character plays hockey for like 3 fucking pages. Mm-hmm. The 90% of that book, he's like the CEO of a company. Thanks. And he sucks. He fucking sucks. I hated that book so much. That's but like, the same thing with the witchy books. Like
maybe this is like people's bread and butter, but like I just feel like a lot of witchy books are made out to be like very corny. Like I think the X-Hex, like the Kiss Curse, like they're corny, but they're really cute and enjoyable.
Yes.
Like I really liked those.
Yeah.
This one just seems very more like realistic, as if like you could essentially go to Salem and actually, you probably could go to Salem and find this because it's Salem. But
yeah.
Like, this seems very like real life to me. And I like that in a book sometimes.
That's, like, I was saying, not to like toot Liz Tomford's horn again because we just had a whole thing. But I think the reason why I love her sports romance book so much is because
she makes them wholesome.
There's more than just the sport going on. Yes. Like that's not like the whole plot. She knows and understands the sports enough that it's believable. And like the characters make it so well-rounded.
That okay, so if you want to, I'm not comparing here, but like that's how, like,
but that's what I'm saying, like
it's that's
yes.
how Julie writes.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Books. Like they're more than just like a witchy vibe story. They're about like almost you almost want to call these people your friends, these are real people. But she writes it so well, encompassing that like it's a full-blown like world story.
Yes.
You get background. There's other things going on than just like a curse or a mystery or the fact that she can like get a vision. And like you might even relate.
They're more like in depth and like and realistic.
Like, people can relate to Stevie, Indy, the mailman characters if you're a guy reader, like Miller. Like you can relate to maybe not Imogen, the fact that she can see visions,
right.
But like maybe her backstory, about being on the run, like abusive relationships. Like same with Gwendolyn, like the female main character of book one. Like you might be able to like relate a lot to these characters.
Yeah.
Which I love when people write like that.
Yes. Like there's a point in time where like a cute, corny, fluffy story is like what you're looking for. But I think as like lovers of like these like separate genres, you kind of want those like more like in-depth, like heartwarming stories.
Yeah.
Because like I like reading books like that. So if you can write a book like that and incorporate like the genre that I normally, that I really like, perfect. It literally is just like.
And like Julie markets these books as rom-coms. And yes, there's good fucking humor in them. And like there's some silly moments too. Like,
yeah, no,
but
yeah.
They're not like, they're like the silly moments where like I want to be a part of these silly moments. Like they're not like out of the fucking, I don't know. Like they're good.
Yes,
they're
I know.
Good little like, you needed that little laugh right
yeah.
there. Like she breaks it up. Like. I don't know. So like if you want to compare like the Liz Tomford, the sports world, like this is the Julie Johnson of like the witchy world.
Yes.
And, like they're queens of their domain, yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah. Thank you for understanding what I was, trying to get at with that. Okay. So now you've read Bad Luck Charm and at Last Sight.
Yeah. And she's pregnant.
But which one do you like more?
Well, here's the funny thing, Teresa Marie. Because
you know me, I'm like a person who's like rank them.
I
ask everybody to rank.
I think because book one, I think always resonates with you a little bit more because it's the first book in the series. I will say book two, I fucking loved this story.
Yeah,
like I loved it so much. But I think I need to reread them so I can rank them.
Yeah,
that's literally after I finished, I was like, let me like finish the Julia Cross series because I really want to, and like I actually might revisit these.
Yeah.
And they are on audio. So I'm like, maybe if I revisit them on audio, I can like kind of
yeah.
gauge which one I like better. There's a mystery component in book one also.
I think like, so for me, because I get really attached to book one of a series, but only if I'm like absolutely love book one, then no book I read after is going to top it.
I get that.
In a series. But like, okay, so for Chestnut Springs, I like Flawless a lot. But I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the epitome of romance books for me. So when you ask me to rank Chestnut Springs, I'm like, okay, well, obviously Reckless is my favorite. But then if you like ask me to rank like Mile High or like The Windy City, I'm always going to go Mile High because Mile High, like when I read it, like I had a seizure. I was like salivating. Like I was dying about it. So I feel like even
this Tomford series is my Julie Johnson.
So I feel like
series.
Even though like The Right Move and Caught Up are both 5 stars, I have to always go if I'm ranking Mile High first because it was just everything to me. So I cannot put something above it.
I hear you. I can get that. I think I just need to revisit book one because like to me book one was like, you know, when like you were looking for something.
That's what I was saying. I feel like it scratched that itch so well for you that it's like, oh my God, I love this.
Like,
but it's like, yeah.
For. So like, I don't know. Like book two was honestly fucking phenomenal. Like sometimes you get like a little nervous when like a second book comes out, especially when there's like great hype after book one. And like Julie Johnson has been around for a while. Like I think this one really took off for her for Bad Luck Charm. So I was like, please, like like, you're such a great writer. I've read some of her back stuff. So, I'm like, she's got it. But, like, she fucking knocked this out of the park. Like, it was a home run in my books.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will read it.
Just put it on your back burner. It could be an audiobook you listen to when you're like, whatever. I personally really liked it. I think you, with book one, felt there was more of, like, a lull period involved with
it.
I don't think there was a lull so much with this one. Like, it really made sense. I think it's because Imogen, you're kind of watching her, like, develop and understand, like he's trying to teach her, like stop pushing people away, like just because you want to be a loner doesn't mean you need to be alone. So like I think there's like a different component to it, like, whereas like Gwendolyn, like she had like some trauma in like her youth as well, like it was just like a little different. But this one I feel like if she wrote 5,000 more pages, I would have read them all. Like that's kind of
that to me is like, I feel like how you know a book is good when you're like, I don't want this to end. I don't even care if I'm just reading Happily Ever After for 500 more pages. That you just like love the characters and the story so much you just don't want to leave it.
And like 500 pages for a romance book, when I first saw that for like Bad Luck Charm, I was like, ooh shit, like this might, is she dragging this out? Like what is this?
Well, because for fluffy, okay, so if Tessa Bailey wrote a 500 page book, I would roll my eyes.
Same.
Because I love Tessa Bailey, but I love Tessa Bailey for light fluffy.
Yes.
So it doesn't need to be 500 pages. But there's people who are like, no romance book should be over. Like, that's not true. Some romance is really
Mariana's pod can do a 500 page book.
I'll say some romances really need to like cook, and that's what makes them so good. Yes. I don't think light fluffy romances need to be that long, but I think if you have a more complex
point, like Tessa Bailey's books get right to the point. You really don't know much more than like,
and you don't need to.
You don't need to. Liz Tomford, right. Mariana Zapata. They're telling you a whole story.
A more in-depth story. One's not better than the other, but some romances, you need them to be longer because you need the characters that time to develop.
It's a classification of a romance.
Yes, completely. And that...
If we haven't convinced you to pick up a Liz Tomford book or a Julie Johnson book, we are doing something fucking wrong.
I'm sorry that my two like best recs were ARCs, but go pre-order them.
My best rec is out when you guys are listening.
The Julie Johnson book will be out. I mean, it literally comes out tomorrow. So even if we were posting this right now, but
the paper book came out. I like when like my husband's like, when are we gonna get our daughter?
I have to go actually pick up my husband from the train. So this is a perfect place to stop. Next week, we'll be talking about Fangirl Down by Tessa Bailey, speaking of the devil. Honestly, we both already listened to it. I liked it. Very typical quintessential Tessa Bailey book. I'm also excited to talk about it with you because we both did the audio for this one. And this is our first time both having done audio. Okay. Then we have another Spilling the Tea episode. And then we're rounding out the month of February with Powerless. The month of February, the month of March with Powerless.
Lauren
Roberts.
It's a fantasy one.
But we are also at the end of the month going to Sweetgrass. Yes. So I feel like maybe we'll do post, you know what? We'll discuss. But maybe we'll have a special episode where we just like recap.
We could do a recap. I have some ideas.
I have ideas too. So stay tuned. Love you guys. Do not log out. Sorry, we had an issue last time.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.